The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Lohse. Hello, Otto.
Morning, John. Great to see you.
Thank you very much. I wasn't here last week, but I wouldn't miss this week for anything. And that is because of our guest. And we are just so fortunate. Judy is always willing to come on. So I'm not making it sound like she's not, but when she is here, it's just always the best show because what's going on in the town of North Hempstead is nothing short of being the proudest town in this country. And there's no question about it. And yes, there is a council and there's people working on it, but everything starts at the top. And the initiatives and the thought and the caring that comes about through Supervisor Judy Bosworth makes it all possible. And today we have her, and we're going to grill her, because I understand how you go, Otto. We're going after Judy this morning.
I'm not
Good morning, Judy.
I try to grill in a nice way.
Yeah, well, I say, you know, we started that way, Otto. We might as well end that way.
There you go. This is not the end, Judy.
How are you, Judy?
I'm good. So great to be here with you, John and Christina and my favorite host. I mean, all the hosts are great, but I have to say my favorite is Otto. And of course, a special thank you and welcome to Dan Cox. All of you do such an extraordinary job in making sure that our seniors get all the news that's fit to be broadcast, which can't say fit to be print. And it's just such a pleasure to be. When I'm here, and I always say it, I feel like I'm visiting with family. So this is just like a nice fireside chat. And it's great to be with you all.
Otto's going to have questions. I have questions. I just want to make a statement that we will discuss later in the show. And that is everything we are talking about with Supervisor Bosworth is in a town with a AAA bond rating. But we'll talk about the importance of that later. But everything that's going on has never put that in jeopardy, which is something that I really want people to pay attention to. And you'll understand the importance of it later on in the show. COVID.
Yes.
Obviously, we're still dealing with COVID. It's been a nightmare. Judy, tell us about what the town has been doing, which is really exemplary.
So it's interesting, John, you know, that you ask, and because this is supposed to be talking about my state of the town. And of course, so much of my state of the town was centered upon the COVID experience, the challenges, what the town did to prepare for it, what we've done during COVID, and what we continue to do. And it has been a great challenge. Fortunately, many people are getting vaccinated. And I have to tell you, I was finally vaccinated and it is such an amazing relief. You feel that, not that you can let down your guard because you still need to be wearing masks and you still need to be social distancing, but that's that sense that you don't have to be living in this constant sense of dread about contracting COVID, because it's a very, very serious thing. But I'd like to first compliment you, John, and all of you who are here, because you transitioned seamlessly to virtual programming last year. I mean, so many things were shut down, so many things, not in North Hempstead, but in so many places, things just stopped because there wasn't that preparation to make that seamless transition. But you guys did. You transitioned to virtual programming. I know I was, you know, how many times have we done this already? Virtually, in terms of my being on the show, several
within the first couple of weeks you were on.
That's right. That's
once
right.
You got it off the ground.
Exactly. So it was so important for our seniors to still have the mechanism to tune in on Friday at 10 o'clock to hear everything that they needed to know based on Project Independence Radio Show. So really, kudos to all of you for keeping that going. So COVID. I can tell you that last March, I mean, it's hard to believe that it's now over a year. But last March, when people started to realize this pandemic is actually coming, we had already been planning. We had had a COVID committee that was meeting each week to talk about what things we needed to do to prepare just in case. Because in February, it was still that just in case. Nobody was really quite sure, was it coming, how it would impact us. But the thing that was most important was to make sure that whatever happened, you know, it's the old, you plan for the worst and hope for the best. So we planned for the worst and pretty much that's what happened. So it's a good thing we did the planning. But we immediately realized that our employees, many of them, would not be able to come into town hall. The town hall would actually be closed. I mean, there was always someone in town hall, but that most people would not be there. And so we started setting things up so that people could work virtually. We had to figure out who needed to take computers home, who needed to have access to different programs so that they'd be able to do their work at home. Our 311 operators were working virtually. We really put in place to prepare for the eventuality, should it occur, that people would have to be working from home. And we did, and pretty much that happened. I have such great respect and admiration for all those frontline workers who were not working virtually, who were still coming in, whether it's the doctors, the nurses, our great employees at the town, the people who were stocking the grocery shelves, the people who were doing the deliveries, our first responders. They couldn't say, oh, I'm going to be working virtually because I'm not comfortable. That was their job, and they were there for us. And it's because of their heroic efforts that we were really able to continue and make sure that our town services and town government was able to work really without any stop in the continuity of services. And so, and I know I'm going off topic just a little bit.
No, there is no topic, Judy.
Okay, so you'll bear with me.
Absolutely. Just,
I guess a week or two ago, we actually dedicated a plaque to the frontline workers. I think we were the first municipality on Long Island to do this. And it's a plaque in front of town hall that just gives the admiration and respect for our frontline workers that they deserve because they were there for us. You know, it's the old, you can't fill a pothole by working virtually. You know, you can't deliver food from the comfort of your home. But we were able to be comfortable. We were able to be, to know that the things that we needed that were essential, we had access to them because of the tremendous work and effort of all of these frontline workers. And of course, the doctors and the nurses who were putting themselves in harm's way every day without, I mean, maybe they were concerned, but they knew that that was their job and they were there for the people who came into the hospital, who needed treatment. And, you know, you had ICUs, not ICU is not an easy place to be. And so they were over capacity with ICUs. They were setting up spaces in hallways and any place they could to try to cope with the influx of all of these COVID patients who were not able to stay home because they were so ill. So we've certainly come a long way, but to talk about this without referencing the great debt of gratitude that we have for all of these people would just not be doing a service to the whole COVID experience. So we did that. We for the people who could, they were working remotely. I have to give a shout out our coordinator of public safety, who also happens to be the president of our CSEA union, Tom McDonough, because he worked with us to make sure that our employees were in situations that were safe. We identified the things that needed to be done, the procedures that needed to happen, the temperature taking, the deep cleaning, the hand sanitizers, the masks, all the PPE things that needed to be distributed. Tom was essential in planning for that and making sure it happened. And to this day, is still working so hard to make sure that our employees and ultimately, you know, also our residents are safe. So that was that. So what we realized is people needed information. There were rumors, and we felt that it was so important that we communicate. You know, what is this all about, this radio show? It's communication. What did people need? They needed to hear the most up-to-date information. They needed to hear what we were doing, what they could do, where they could reach out for help. So we started doing, and I think really probably the most effective thing that we did is robocalls. So there was a robocall. I did a robocall in the beginning, at least once a week, where we'd talk about the need for social distancing, all the different things that one would need to know during a pandemic. I would, you know, also add that, of course, there was stuff on our website, and there were, you know, emails. There was anytime I did a robocall, there was an email that went out to all the mayors, the community leaders, the civic associations, the commissioners of special districts. We tried to make sure that any information that we had was gotten out to the public as quickly as possible. But we did also realize that not everybody has access to emails. Not everybody's going to go online and check our website. That was where the robocalls became so important. We also made sure that anything we did was also on our public access TV channel, so that people could, whatever we were saying, whatever we were doing, was also on TV. Certainly being able to talk about this on your radio show was a helpful way of getting information out. We talked about where people could get COVID testing. We promoted the food banks that were so vital. You know, one of the things that was new, there were we have food banks, there were always people who, you know, are in need of some help in that respect. But more and more people were finding themselves in that need, because as things shut down, not everybody was able to keep their jobs. People lost their jobs, they lost their source of income. And, you know, we learned a new word, at least it was a new phrase for me, and that was food insecurity. People were worried about, were they going to be able to get food? How would they get food? And so the food pantries that existed in North Hempstead became so important. We promoted the food bank so that people would know where they could go to get them, and, you know, to get food. We promoted whatever we could. And additionally, we created a website that was solely dedicated to providing daily COVID updates. If there was something that was essential that everyone needed to know, we did a robocall.
You know, Judy, I just want to jump in with your robocalls. And it's cute, because I talk to seniors and it's amazing how they love the robocall, because they basically said, Judy called me. I swear to God. But you know what? They're lonely and they listen to the phone call. Or if you didn't answer the phone, it went to the message machine. Right. But it was a voice. They weren't going onto the web and they weren't surfing. They didn't know any of that stuff. But the phone call from Judy Bosworth was a touch to reality, and somebody cared. So it's weird how it turned out, but that phone call, the robocalls, I think were tremendous. I really do.
I think they were very, very effective, and people did listen to them, I think, from people I've heard. You know, they weren't ignored, they were listened to.
You know how people listen to them? Because I started getting emails. You know, in other words, there's a, you know, the town has a service and they have all the phone numbers and people have called. Sometimes what's happened is people have gotten rid of their landlines and changed to just cell phones, and we don't have those numbers. So I would start getting emails. My neighbor told me that they got a robocall from you. I didn't get it. Can you put my name, my number on the list? And so that was kind of a great way of knowing that people were getting them. They were listening to them. They found them of value enough to talk about it. And if someone wasn't getting it, they wanted it. Perfect. I mean, I, you know, I'm sorry, John.
No, we got to take a break. Oh. I love this, and I want to come back to it. We're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.